Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful day this is. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Robin Crane, and I welcome you into this community of hope, reason, and transcendence. Here we seek wisdom beyond our own experience, and here we open our loving minds to the mystery of wonder and the moral imagination. Here we transcend the day-to-day of our lives to seek for truths both meaningful and sustaining. And here we seek to offer a loving message that provides wholeness in a broken world. Here we seek to apply reason to our understanding of the world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer a welcome to anyone who's a first-time visitor. Do we have any first-time visitors here? Everybody's experienced. Thank you very much. We're glad that everybody's here. We have a nursery for infants and young children, and during the summer, that nursery accepts children under the age of 6 years old. It's through these doors to the left, out into the foyer, and then the first door on the left. And at the front, we have switched big changes. You know, Unitarians don't, we're supposed to like change. We have moved the spirit chair, and we now have a nice table over here that'll help us store some of the things for kids or adults who want to take something back to your seat to keep your hands busy. And today we are using it, we are putting all those materials on the front pew. So if you've got anybody who wants to come up and get some pipe cleaners or something to do with your hands, they're in the front row right there. We welcome everyone into this home of joy, comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. And I have a couple of small announcements. Volunteers are needed this summer to help with coffee hour cleanup and to assist the paid childcare worker in the nursery. Our church's safety protocol requires that there be two adults in any group setting where children are involved, like the nursery and the RE classes. Sign-up sheets are on the desk in the fellowship hall, so please take a turn to help out. Our fourth Saturday distribution of personal care items is in 2 more weeks. There's a list in your order of service of the items we need to distribute to those in need. And we are very thankful for all donations received. Thank you also to all those who helped with the inside and yard cleanup a few weeks ago, and to those who attended the annual meeting last week. Was it last week or the week before? Last week. I'm getting so old that things just whip by me really fast. And those who deliberated so thoughtfully on the budget for our financial year that begins July 1. Thank you to everyone who increased their pledges this year. The board knows that some of us cannot, but it is appreciated and it goes to good use whenever you can. And now, let us enjoy the prelude played by Nicole. Thank you. She's so good. I asked her to do something short because we were going to do a little communion extra thing in the service, and of course she did it. How wonderful. Ben, will you step forward, please, and light the chalice for us? Now let's all read the words in unison. It's a piece called Out of the Flames by Sarah Eileen Lawal. Out of the flames of fear, we rise with courage of our deepest convictions to stand for justice, inclusion, and peace. Out of the flames of scrutiny, we rise to proclaim our faith with hope to heal a fractured and hurting world. Out of the flames of doubt, we rise to embrace the mystery, wonder, and awe of all there is and all there is to be. Out of the flames of hate, we rise with the force of love, love that celebrates our shared humanity. Out of the flames, we rise.
Holy the moment in which we meet again. Holy is every breath we draw in this meeting. Holy the memories, the stories, and the hopes that have guided us here. Holy is the ground in which we gather. Let us understand, friends, that we are surrounded by what is holy. We dwell in it here and take part in it all. Let us worship together. Please rise in body or spirit to sing our opening hymn, 1008 from the Teal Hymnal, Where Do We Come From? This hymn describes a fundamental existential question that humans have grappled with for millennia. We have found various answers in religion, the Garden of Eden story, Pandora's box, and other stories of that relationship of humankind to the gods they worship. That relationship really depends on what we believe about what human nature is. Is it inherently sinful or inherently blessed?
Done by the people who do the website Humans of New York. And if you haven't ever seen it, go out there and look up Humans of New York. When you're depressed, it's really elevating. The book Little Humans is done by the same people. It makes no allusions to a creation story. It doesn't talk about snakes or the apple in the Garden of Eden. It doesn't talk about the evils in Pandora's box and the way they were loosed on the world. And it doesn't talk about human defiance of divine rules, but it presents a wonderful picture of what at least little humans can be. Many wonderful picture books start with delightful pictures or writings on the inside of the covers before the story officially begins, and that's true here. The inside cover, both front and back, has some delightful photos of really interesting children. Now I'm going to have to stand here and maybe kind of read it together with you. I love the outfit. Very good. Little humans do big things. If they stand up tall and hold on tight, sure, sometimes they fall, but they get back up. They'll be all right. Little humans can be tough, super tough,
superhero tough. But not too tough to need a hug or need some friends or need some love. Little humans can put on a show. I don't know if you remember that, but I remember putting on shows when I was a kid. Little humans can be proud of themselves, and they want to make you proud of what they know. They help. They play. They slide in snow. They spill. They learn, and then they grow, and it looks like he's been doing some growing. Little humans can do such big things and say, I did it myself. But if a thing's a bit too big, they can say, I need some help. With all that little humans do, like bend and twirl and dig, don't be surprised if one says to you, hey, I'm not little, I'm big. Doesn't she look happy? And here are some more pictures of kids from the end piece of the book. And that's always the best part of children's books, is the front piece and the end piece. But you notice that's a very you version of who we humans are. And not all little kids are always really nice and charming and attractive. But this is really a good thing for us to try to remember sometimes. Okay, there is religious education for elementary school kids, but not for people in the youth group. So let us now sing them out by singing the words to the children's recessional. Go your way. Go your way in peace. Our church offers us the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives every week in the year. Does our financial contribution reflect the joy and the comfort and the companionship that we receive here? How does our collective money transform those within and beyond our congregation's walls? This morning's offering will be most sincerely and gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
Please join us in reciting the unison offertory blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these offerings.
Our reading today is given to us by Black Elk, a leader of the Oglala Lakota, which we sometimes call Sioux. The first piece, which is the most important, is that which comes within the souls of people when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers, and when they realize that at the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit, and that its center is really everywhere. It is within each of us. Now it's time for joys and sorrows. We all have them. We regularly take time to recognize the joys and sorrows and the celebrations and struggles of this community. We do this by taking one or more stones from the bowls as we enter at the back of the sanctuary, or else from the bowl here in the chancel. We allow those stones to help us focus our awareness on those things most important in our lives. And we place those stones in the cleansing waters of this community. If you have joys, sorrows, celebrations, or struggles you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward now in a ritual of joy and sorrow using this right-hand aisle. Those who have difficulty walking are welcome to take the shortest route and cross in front of the first pew if you wish.
Spirit of love, at play within, between, and beyond us. Weave our hearts together where they have been injured. Strengthen us in the places once broken, that we may serve the world from the wisdom of those scars. Help us learn what gifts we might find in our suffering, that nothing, not even our least favorite times, would ever go to waste in this life. So may it be. Amen. Please stay seated to sing hymn 1037 in the teal green hymnal, We Begin Again in Love, a UU confession. The words will be displayed on the wall. This hymn has only one refrain, which the congregation sings in response to the leader's spoken words. Just follow the musician's lead on the refrain. For remaining silent in a single voice, is that right? Oh, okay. Not sure, am I supposed to? For remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference. for each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible. For each time we have struck out in anger without just cause. For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others, or blinded us to the needs of others. For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone. Falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit. For losing sight of our unity. For so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness. Thank you. That was a challenge, and I appreciate, and I want to say thank you to Robin for doing such a great job and finding all of these wonderful hymns and readings with very little direction from myself, and she did a great job with it, so thank you, Robin. Today I'm going to talk about original sin, something that is out there that UUs don't necessarily talk about, but I am going to. So here we go. Growing up, I was raised Catholic. I attended a Lutheran Vacation Bible School, and I played handbells in a Methodist church. So I got a lot of variety of the Protestant religions and the Catholicisms. But while all three denominations had slightly different views and some major different views of doctrine, the one thing that they all agreed on and that I just couldn't get behind was original sin. Every time the phrase "born into sin" was uttered out of the minister, pastor, priest's mouth, a part of me recoiled. I just sort of shut down when they said that. I just refused to believe that an all-powerful God, and I'm going to use the word God, and if that's hard for some of you, please use the word love or spirit or whatever works for you, would choose to create something in the negative. And while I believe that life is a miracle, and I believe it's a positive thing. But I do not believe we are inherently born as sinners, and I cannot believe that a God would create something so amazing and magical and wonderful, and then, deem it terrible and sinful and awful, and separate himself from us. Many of us have an idea of what original sin is, but I'm going to give you my definition, just so we are all sort of on the same page of where I'm coming from. In the Bible, in some different views, it's the thought that Adam and Eve, and when they ate the forbidden fruit, inherently changed something within their nature. Their nature inherently became evil, and there was a separation between themselves and God. And that's sort of a very broad overview of what original sin is. And because of that, that inherently negative, evil, sinful nature has been passed on from generations to generations to generations. And some people even say that you could say that your sin comes directly from Adam's sperm. So think about that for a minute. That's how long this line goes. And I just don't agree with it. I feel like there's a whole lot of issues with this. And the first one, and I'm going to talk about some of them, but I'm not going to debate the thought of whether or not Adam and Eve existed. I realize there's not proof out there or anything like that. What we're talking about is the idea. So many of you would start with that point, and we're just going to move along because enough people have that thought. And it's not mine, but it's out there. But what I want to talk about is the greater issue of what that belief led to. And it led to that people are already, it's sinful in nature, and that who we are as people started in a hole, basically, if you want to look at it that way, and that we've been sort of digging our way out of that hole ever since then. And I feel it's just such a long impacting fear or curse, you might want to say, on human nature, and it's a shame that it's become that. But I want to say, but we'll go back a little bit in history. You might be surprised to know that early Christianity didn't actually subscribe to the concept of original sin. And in fact, of all the three Abrahamic religions, Christianity is the only one who has an original sin component. And when you look further, it's mostly Western Christianity. And while Eastern Christianities do have these thoughts, it's not what they emphasize. Western Christianity is the one that's really put out there that original sin is what makes us, and to be saved, you must believe in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But when you really look at it, there was two doctrines, and it's a very long, complicated issue that we won't go all into, but basically, the Eastern Church chose to emphasize Easter. And if you ever go to a Greek Orthodox church, you might have noticed that their Easter celebrations are something to behold, and they're all night, and it is a huge celebration, and it's one of joy and excitement, and it's because, to them, they're celebrating life triumphing over death. And they're not, and they're celebrating how life has become, is what is wonderful. They're not celebrating sin like we are on the Western Church, where we've decided to emphasize the sin doctrine and how Jesus' resurrection was a redemption of our sins. So as you can see, it's very similar, but it's a little bit different. One side you have emphasizing life, and the other side you have emphasizing sin. Now, when you think about yourself, how does that feel to you as a person? A lot of people grew up thinking that they were born in sin. Some people even have babies, and I've heard of this story where their very devout family member will come up to the baby and be cuddling and be like, oh, look at you, little sinner. How many of you thought, oh, this newborn baby is a sinner? And to me, it is just such a terrible mind frame to come from. It just blows my mind that people say that, and I just cannot believe somebody so little could be born in sin. But people do, and you know what? That's their belief, and if they choose to believe it, but I feel that it's really put a negative aspect on humanity. And it also changed the focus of the church. Instead of fully living within life, or living within the church, and the church fully living into the life that you've been given, church has now become more exclusive, and it's become more about saving people. So instead of going out and bringing life into the world, it's about bringing people in and saving their individual souls. And you might say, oh, they're trying to save all of humanity, but when you really look at it, every single person that they're working on is they're asking you, have you accepted Jesus? Have you accepted that you are a sinful person? Have you accepted this? Have you reconciled this? And as you can see, it's drawing people in, but in a very exclusionary way. So if you don't believe our thoughts, or if you're not going to get on board with what we believe, and if you don't understand your sinful nature, then you can never really be a part of this community. Whereas the early Christian church was going out and spreading the word. And it was going out and being in community. Our ancestors lived in community. We depended on each other, and it's a part of what it brings us as Unitarians together. We might not necessarily believe everything, but we do come together as a community. And that's what early humans did, because we needed each other. So the coming together to survive and to grow and to live life versus coming together to live in the afterlife, into the next life, and who cares so much about this life, has long-reaching impacts on life, on society. It also leads to a prioritization of folks, which I have found completely frustrating. When you all of a sudden have original sin, well, what constitutes sin? And then you have a whole bunch of list of rules, and these rules get smaller and smaller and tighter, and it becomes less welcoming and less welcoming and less life-affirming. When you're emphasizing the life situation, you become more, let me help you, let's grow together, let's expand together, let's fulfill life's promises together. But I was I'm not so great about putting all this into words, as you might notice. I'm not a great preacher, but I was listening to The Best of Our Knowledge on NPR, and they were interviewing Daniel Scheuer, and you can see her book up there. And I'm like, a person who gets my thoughts. And she's not alone. Other people have talked about this, but she really eloquently puts into words, and it is from a Christian point of view, I'll put it out that way, but how this whole line of thought has really affected the world today. And what she posits is that people were born into original blessing. And I really loved that, because it's changing from the point of view that every single one of you was here, and every single one of you is blessed. And no matter how you're feeling today or tomorrow or what somebody tells you about your self-worth, you are a blessing in the eyes of God. And you have a connection with God. And God is with you and all of humanity. And you could say universal love is with you. But every single person here has value. And it is not represented on some sort of negative that you were born with that you had no control over. And she puts out exactly what I think, is that you guys are human. God made humanity. He didn't make perfection. And everybody rises up and everybody falls. And sort of how Robin had said at the end of her book, children, all of us parents know, or our aunts and uncles know, kids can be a pain. You know, they make a lot of mistakes and they're frustrating. And your sibling is frustrating and your parent is frustrating, and nobody is perfect in this world. But that's okay. You're still blessed. God still holds you in love. You can still have a relationship with God or the Spirit. And there's nothing there separating you. It's nothing in your nature. It's nothing that you've done. And you went, too bad. It's there. Whether you want to have it there or not, you're stuck with it. So get used to it, that people care, and I care, and this congregation cares about you. And what I like most is that you're accepted as you are. And some of us struggle with identity, some of us struggle with our imperfections, and some of us, you know, just have negative thoughts. And that's okay, because we're human, and it doesn't make us sinful, and it doesn't make us somehow less than. It makes us who we are. And God made us as humans, and that's what you need to understand. And you need to be, and it's okay. And the fact, and when we start seeing each other as humans and as fallible beings, not as sinners and saints, because there's no such thing as that perfect being, and there's no such thing as a totally, well, there are people out there I question, but it's not my role to judge. I can't do anything about it. I'm not the all-powerful or the all-being. And it takes a lot in me to understand why certain people are here. But in the end, I don't believe in hell. And in the end, life's not fair. And because we are humans, unfairness happens. And people that I don't agree with get to be in places I wish they were not. And I think we've all seen that. But it really saddens me when I think of religious zealots and people who've all of a sudden made divisions in the world and have thought, well, because I believe this, or my God has told us. There's no my God. There's just something out there. You know, nobody gets to claim one God over another God. But everybody can claim what's in their head and their consciousness and how they treat each other. And I think that's what's really important about Unitarian Universalism, is we have a lot of that in that. We already see the inherent worth and dignity of everybody. Everybody's here, whether we like it or not. We're all in this big, messy world, and we have to deal with it. And by claiming and yelling out, oh, he's a sinner, we're just excluding that person from our lives, and we are separating them from ourselves and how we can build bridges with each other. So if there's somebody out there that you just don't understand, you don't get, either move along, let somebody else deal with it, or think, that person is a child of God. That person is a brother or sister. That person deserves love. And I don't understand why, and I don't always get it, but I need to go and I need to see what's in them. And I think if more people reached out that way, and people would stop making their religions smaller and smaller and smaller, I think this world would go so much farther than it already is. And even just, some people would even say, and I really agree with this too, that in creating Adam and Eve, and I know once again, that's just sort of a esoteric thought out there, but in creating Adam and Eve, and then having Adam and Eve eat the apple, that was a way of Adam and Eve living up to their potential. You know, does God want you to stay in that infantile state? Were you meant to stay as children? As we've seen through these pictures, we all grow. And some of us grow in different ways, but we aren't meant to stay as children. Our brains and our bodies grow. And when Adam and Eve took that apple, perhaps that was their way of growing to the next level, you know? God was done being their overall protector, and now it was time for them to move on. It was time for them to grow out of the garden to see what was next. And I think sometimes that gets lost because we get so focused on the apple, and now all of a sudden the sin is in the world. Do you know what? It was already there. It's up to us to understand what to do with it. And it's up to us to come together and say, hey, do you know what? Adam and Eve are just moving along their life cycle. And that's what we're doing. And they fell. You know, you might say, oh, they made a humongous mistake. That's all right. Who, as the phrase go, can cast a stone? We've all made gigantic mistakes. But that's okay, but do you know what? God provided for Adam and Eve. Even though he cast them out of the garden, and you can use this, you know, metaphorically, as he cast them out of the garden, everything they needed to survive was still there. The earth was still there. The garden was still there. Sure, they had to work a little bit, but honestly, who of us that doesn't do any work finds life a bit meaningless, and we drift? And perhaps this was what they needed to do next. And then they started populating the world, and, you know, snowball, 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 snowball. We're all here. But everything that they needed, even though they were, quote unquote, thrown out, was still there. God didn't abandon them. He didn't all of a sudden cast out and say, hey, you guys are big sinners now. Out. That wasn't what happened. And it's a different way of looking at the story. Not everybody agrees with it, and that's okay. But that's how I like to look at it. I like to look at that they grew up. They moved on. They got out. And now we have our lives, and we need to grow up, and we need to think about it. And life's not easy, but it doesn't mean you are a bad person or that what you did caused your bad luck. You know, it really is individual choices that make this world together. And that's what I really love when I came to Unitarian Universalism, is the universalist aspect about it, and that we are all saved in this world. And like I said earlier, it's hard to think about that when you think about the Hitlers of the world, the terrorists of the world. You know, it's hard to understand that there's not going to be retribution. Sometimes people want to think that because I live such a great, perfect, wonderful life, that these people who've done all these terrible things are going to somehow get payback. And it's really hard to let go of that philosophy. And it's really hard to let go, especially when I talk to people and they're like, well, they'll get it in the afterlife. Well, who cares about the afterlife? Let's get them here because this is where we're at. And honestly, the afterlife, I don't know what happens. You don't know what happens. None of us know. It's this humongous mystery. But I really don't believe we're going to be separated out. And universalism, while it calls us all to be saved, and like I said earlier, also recognizes that we are all blessed, I would like to think helps us refocus our energies into coming together, working together, seeing that there's something special and unique in all of us, and that hopefully we can come together as a spirit, a community. And when we are confronted with those challenging times, and we're sort of in some challenging times now, that we can build a movement together because we see the value in each and every one of us. And then another point I wanted to say, to allude to, I know I'm a bit rambly today, because now that I'm starting to talk, it's just all coming out. So you have to deal with it. But, because I'm here. The other thing I really liked about Original Blessing, and I won't talk too much longer, is the fact that it concentrates on the here and now. And that's what Unitarian Universalism also concentrates on. We are here together. This is our world right now. And with all its flaws and all its beauty and all of its wonder and all of its miracles, it's not perfect. There's a whole lot out there. A lot of you know that I work with a group that works with different congregations and helping them to become more environmentally friendly. And it's taken a lot of focus for some denominations to understand that the world that we were given is a gift. And the gift is right here, and we're all living in the right here. We're not all living in the afterlife, and although some of us are focused on that, when you change your focus, you forget to think about what's going on right now, and you forget to focus like on the environment, which is really something that I work a lot on. You forget to realize that there's future generations after us, and we were brought into this world as caretakers. We weren't brought into this world to be destroyers. And when you realize the here and now is what's important and not working towards my goodness and redemption for the next world, you begin to realize this is what's sacred, this is what's holy, and this is what I need to be working on at this moment. And I think when you think about original blessing and you realize this world is a blessing, not the afterlife, not the next world, not heaven, this world that we were born into is a blessing, and it's incumbent upon all of us to take care of it. It leads for a better society for everybody. And I hope that as I do my work and as you guys go out into the world, that you think about that, and then you help people redirect. You know, you're here, you're being affected right now. And I don't know what the future is going to bring. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But right now, I know I can do this, or I can do that, or I can listen to you, I can talk, I can plant a tree, I can do a garden, simple things like that. But when you're always worried about your original sin and making redemption and confessing and doing all this, really what you've done is changed your focus to the next level. You've changed your focus from caring about now, and you've changed your to what's going to happen to me after I die. And nowhere in the Bible is that the Bible is talking about. And I hope you all think about that. And finally, I think original blessing really brings you a greater connection to God and to the universe and to love. When you realize you don't have to struggle for something, you don't have to ask for something, it's just there. It's just there for you being you. It's just there for the person you are. And the love will never go away. Sometimes people equate it to like parental love, and not everybody's parents are fantastic, but my love for my children will always be there, no matter how many times they mess up, no matter how many times they fall down, I will be there, and it's not something you ever have to question. And when you know in your heart that somebody or something is loving you, it's much easier to go out and do the work that you need to do when you don't have to feel like you are a bad, sinful person. And I hope everybody takes that with them today, because this is where you belong, this is your community, and every single one of you has something special to offer, and none of you have started in a well, and none of you have to climb out of it. Amen. I now invite you to do something a little bit different. We are gonna share in communion today, and it's gonna be a very you communion, but I do hope you'll take part in it. It's something we just thought we'd give a shot, and I think you'll like it, so open minds, everybody. And there, I'm going to say a few words, and then there'll be a responsive reading.
By the glory of your presence around us,
In thankfulness, let us offer praise for the provisions of the universe we have enjoyed. May we, with all creation, dedicate ourselves with integrity to the completion of our calling. May we enter into the fellowship that is both matter and spirit, human and divine, time-bound and everlasting. Blessed be. Please rise in body or spirit as we are able to sing our closing hymn, 1017. It is Building a New Way. Seated as we extinguish the chalice. Please read in unison with me. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry until we are together again. We all emerge from, dwell within, and are transformed by and called back to love. May your mind be humbled before the mystery. May your heart grow hopeful by it. May you be sustained by the blessed love always. As Nicole plays our postlude, let us adjourn for coffee and community. Don't forget to pick up your shopping lists for the fourth Saturday lunch. Thank you and blessed be.